Good Sunday morning. I hope you're doing well today and hope you're having a good weekend. Welcome to the month of June. We are cruising through this year, and it's been an interesting year to say the least, hasn't it? We've gone from coronavirus, which is still a situation here in the U.S. and throughout the world, to the past 2 weeks of protests and violence because of a young man who was killed by a police officer up in Minneapolis. Since then, we've had peaceful protests, and then we've had protests that have broken out into violence, vandalism, theft, looting, and it's just been a mess in the U.S. the past 2 weeks. And let's talk about that because it's definitely an issue that's of great concern, or should be an issue of great concern to every American. And this is the issue of racism, which is hatred. And it's been building and building and building over the years as other Black Americans have been killed by police officers. And the videotape of George Floyd being killed with officer's knee on his neck was, I think, really the last straw. A lot of Americans want to see justice take place. And it's, you know, it's a complicated situation. And then again, it's not a complicated situation. It's complicated because people are involved. Emotions are involved. And just a long history of racism and hatred in America. I had thought by this time, 2020, we would be beyond this issue. But it's only gotten worse. And what it boils down to, the simplicity of it, is sin. Because hatred is sin, and that's what racism is. And there's racism all over the board here. Black and white, you have racism against Asians, against Native Americans. Racism goes back, way back into, you know, the beginning of time, it seems like. And it's a sin problem, and that's where we really have to deal with it at. Now, trying to change a whole nation at one moment, that's hard to do. You have millions, hundreds of millions of people with all kind of different viewpoints. And let me stop here by saying also that the majority of police officers out there, at least the ones that I have met over the years, are wonderful people. They love their job. They love those who they serve. I've seen them time and time again go above and beyond their call of duty. And I remember just about a month ago, out on the streets here in Dothan, seeing a police officer taking bag lunches and drinks to give to children in a poor neighborhood. And he wasn't directed to do that. He did that because he cares. And that's a great example of how the majority of police officers are. It's like in any profession, it takes a few bad apples to make everybody else look bad. The same way with the protesters. The majority of the protesters out there want to protest peacefully. And as Americans, they are allowed to do that. But what happens is you have this other element that comes in, and they're not protesters. They're rioters, they're violent people, and they're thieves. They give all the protesters a bad name. So you see how it can be so complicated. But the only way this is going to change, it's not going to change through more violence, through more hatred, through name-calling. And I believe it's not going to happen through a national leader or national leaders, because it all starts with you and me. It starts at the individual level. What we have to do is, first of all, repent of any hatred that we've ever had. And we need to surrender that to Jesus and ask Him to fill us with His love. And if you and I start doing that, and if we're living with the love of God in our hearts for others, then that's going to spread. And that's the movement that's going to change America. It really comes down to the great commandment that we read about in Matthew chapter 22. When a Pharisee comes up to Jesus to try to test him, and in verse 36, the Pharisee asks Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Jesus sums it all up right there. If we will love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and love one another, as we love ourselves, then that'll bring peace to America. That'll bring peace to neighborhoods and to cities. Because if we just stop and think about loving one another and doing unto others as we'd have them do unto us, it's really simple when you think of it that way, because do we want somebody hurting us, killing us? No. So we shouldn't do that to others. Do we want somebody vandalizing our homes or places of business? No. So we shouldn't do that to others. Do we want somebody stealing from us? No, we don't. So we shouldn't do that to others. So see, when you break it down to Scripture, it's really a simple issue with a simple solution, which was paid for by Jesus Christ. And we just have to live this life that he tells us to. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, has to truly be the body of Christ. We have to live out the word of Jesus. We got to live out his gospel. And when we do that, and as more and more do that, then we're going to see change in America. But if we don't, it's only going to get worse. Because what's the world's answer to a situation like we have going on now? Well, it's killing people. It's more violence and more hatred. And we know violence creates more violence. But if we will start loving others, even if they don't love us back, because Jesus tells us to do that. He tells us to love those who don't love us. To those who hate us, we need to love them anyway. Those who are our enemies, we need to bless them anyway. If we would be obedient, and as James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, then we will see change. So I just want to encourage you today. Let's be people who live like Jesus tells us to, and let's love one another, no matter if it's somebody who doesn't love us back. You know, if we keep loving them, we're going to see love become a fruit in their lives. I've seen it happen before, over and over again. I'll always remember this one gentleman who used to come to Love in Action for our Bible studies, and we had Celebrate Recovery at that time, and he was an inmate at Community Corrections. And he was a mean dude. I mean, he was hard and just filled with hatred and bitterness. But he came because he wanted to just get out of the work release building there and get a good meal. And so that's why he came. And he would tell us that's why he came. But we kept loving on that guy. And we kept showing him the love of Jesus. And my mom kept giving him hugs. And I tell you, hugs, especially from my mother, God uses those to do mighty things. And eventually, this mean, cold-hearted dude filled with hatred started softening up. And the love of Jesus kept penetrating his heart and softened his heart. And before he got out of work release, he had given his life to Jesus. And he was a big teddy bear. He turned into a big teddy bear, a guy with the love of Christ in his heart. And if we would have just judged him at the beginning, we would have just thrown him aside, and he wouldn't have given his life to Jesus and wouldn't have experienced the love of Christ, and his heart wouldn't have changed. But because we kept loving on him and kept telling him Jesus loves him and we love him, no matter how he was acting, the Holy Spirit used that to touch that man's heart and start melting that heart of stone. And it was a great transformation. And that's just one example. But we've got to do what Jesus tells us to do. We can't just read the word and say, okay, that's a nice word Jesus just said there. That was a cool thing he said. And then move on. No, we got to apply it to our lives. When you hear a good sermon, a good message, a good teaching, don't just say, wow, that was real good. That meant a lot to me. And then don't do anything with it. We've got to apply it to our lives. And when we start doing that, which the body of Christ has failed to do that for so long now, but if we would turn around and repent and start living like Jesus tells us to, then the things we see going on in our country today will become less and less. But it's going to take us doing our part and letting his love flow through us to others to change things. And we really got to take a stand against injustices. And we really need to be praying for one another. And when it comes to an issue like we're dealing with here in this country, with the response of the George Floyd death, we need to listen. We need to take time to listen to one another. Because those who are hurting, those who are afraid, those who are angry, They have reasons, and we can't just brush it aside. We need to listen to why they feel this way and what's going on in their life, so we'll know how to pray for them and pray for the situation. Because we just look at it from one side, from our side, like me being a white man, I look at things differently than a black man would in this kind of situation right now. But I've stopped to listen over the years, and I understand more. I can be more sympathetic to what a black male feels like when a police car pulls up behind him to pull him over. Where when I've been pulled over, my first thought has been, oh, my insurance rate's going to go up now because I'm getting a speeding ticket. And that's totally different than what my brother, who has a different skin color than I do, thinks in many, many, many cases. So just taking the time to stop and listen, so we know how to pray, so we know how to respond to one another, we'll do wonders as well. So let's take this horrible situation that's going on in our country. Let's pray over it and let God work through us to bring something good out of it. Because something really awesome can come out of these horrible situations that we see. But again, we have to be willing to do what God commands us to do. So let's be people of His Word, people of prayer, people of applying His Word to our lives. And let's see the difference that that will make. I planned on speaking on something else today, but I feel like we need to continue talking about this current situation going on in America and putting biblical principles to it to see how we can make effective change through living out the Word of God. So let's look at what Jesus said about hatred. And his parables are just awesome. And I truly love the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Let's stop right there for a second. Do this and live. That's a promise of the law. And right at that point, the lawyer should have realized, I can't do this on my own. To keep the entire law is impossible for a sinful man to do. And at that moment, the lawyer should have realized that, because the impossible demands of the law are meant to drive us to seek divine mercy. So this man should have responded with a confession of his own guilt rather than self-justification. But he didn't respond the right way. And it goes on to say in verse 29, But he, being the lawyer, desiring to justify himself. So see, right there is our own selfishness being displayed in this attorney where it's all about me. Well, it's not. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And the lawyer said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. This parable is so powerful on many different levels. But I want to look at it through the situation of what's going on in America today. We see people just totally mistreating each other all the time. And it's not just this situation with George Floyd and the police. We see it every day where crimes are being committed against one another. people are, hatred amongst people has just grown with the social media being so prevalent today, because people can be on social media and basically be faceless and can spew out all kinds of hatred, racism, speech, and it's really tearing the fabric of our country apart. But we need to just stop and remember what the Word of God said. As we read earlier, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So the question that Jesus poses to the lawyer is, which of these three, the Samaritan, the priest, the Levite, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And of course, it was the Samaritan. And what makes it so powerful is the relationship, or actually non-relationship, between Jews and Samaritans. The Jews looked at Samaritans as being the lowest of the lows in their eyes. And the reason being is they called them half-breeds because they were Jewish people who intermarried with Assyrians. And Assyrians were very much hated by the Jews. And so since they intermarried, that formed a real hatred from the Jews towards the Samaritans because it wasn't pure Jewish blood anymore. And you see right there, that's where hatred came in and started trouble between the Jews and the Samaritans. So if you're hated by one person, the world will tell you, then you're supposed to hate back. So what's so interesting about the parable of the Good Samaritan is here's the Samaritan who takes care of the man who was beaten and left for dead. When you first read this story, you think, okay, a priest is coming by. He is a man of God who will surely help this person who was left for dead. But he didn't. He crossed over to the other side of the road to walk past that man. And then the Levite, well, surely the Levite is going to stop and help and have compassion for this person. But no, the Levite did the same thing and walked over to the other side of the road and walked past. Except for the Samaritan, the person who was hated among the Jews, stopped and took care of this person and gave 2-day wages to the innkeeper to take care of this man. So Jesus is saying, we're all each other's neighbors. We can't just pass by somebody when they're hurt and they're injured. They've been kicked to the side of the curb. No matter what their race is, no matter their economic background, whatever, their political persuasion, it doesn't matter. You are my neighbor and I'm your neighbor. We are to love one another. And that is exactly what the Samaritan did. The Samaritan showed compassion, showed love for this stranger. And he helped him recover by taking care of his wounds right then and there, and then putting them up in an inn and making sure he was taken care of then. So he showed mercy. And Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. We're to show mercy to one another. And the situation going on in America, we're not seeing a lot of mercy out there. But that's what we have to show each other, is mercy and grace. Have you ever received mercy? It's a humbling and very awesome feeling when somebody has mercy upon you for something that you've done. And have you ever given mercy? That's very powerful too. But that's what Jesus calls us to do. So who's our neighbor? Well, anyone we come in contact with, our paths cross, we're our neighbors. It's not just somebody who lives next door to you, but we're all neighbors. And we need to show mercy, love, and compassion. And could you just vision for a moment if we would take Jesus at his word and do what he tells us to do, how the situation in America could change, that the violence we'd start seeing disappear. Now, there's always going to be sin in the world because Satan is in the world, and he is continuing to delusion people, confuse people, bring up distractions, and push buttons to cause people to sin. But love, the love of God, will conquer any sin. So we need to respond with love, not hatred. We can't respond with violence. Violence will not solve anything. And hatred definitely will not solve anything. So love your neighbor. Jesus says, go and do likewise. Show mercy to your neighbor. Another awesome moment comes in the Gospel of John, where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, and that's John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. We won't read that, but you can go there, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. And it's just an incredible story, another one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, and you know, a big part about it, of course, is the conversion. The woman comes to Jesus, believes Jesus is the Messiah, and that is so awesome anytime that happens. But the overall theme of this story is the announcement that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus chose a Samaritan woman as the very first person to announce that he is the Messiah. Now think about that for a moment. The Samaritan, a social outcast. And this woman was an outcast among outcasts. She had been married to 5 different men, and the man she was living with at that time was not her husband. So she was a big outcast among a group of people that Jews looked at as social outcasts already. But yet Jesus chose her to be the first one that he says, I'm the Messiah. Why would you think Jesus would do something like that? Why wouldn't he announce that to a priest or to a Pharisee or to a Sadducee, to a religious leader at that time, or even a politician? But no, he chose an outcast among outcasts. And I believe he did that to show how loving, how compassionate he is, how much he loves everyone. The love of Jesus has no boundaries. There are no boundaries with the love of Christ. And this exhibits his announcement to the Samaritan woman that he's the Messiah shows there's no limitations on his love. Worldly love, there's all kind of limitations. But with Jesus, there's no limitations. And this exhibits the character of divine love that is indiscriminate and all-encompassing. That's the love of Christ. And he tells us to follow him. So when we follow someone, we're going to act like them. We're going to be like them because we're following them. We're following him. So Jesus, his invitation to all of us is to follow him. So if Jesus loves this way, then we should love this way. If we see people as social outcasts, we're to love them just as much as we're to love a member of our family. And we need to do that. Can you see how things would change if the body of Christ would do that? If we would love one another just like Jesus loves us, without boundaries, without limits, just loving people and telling them about our Savior who loves them. We can't reach people if we're being mean to them, if we're hating them, calling them all kind of names. We're not going to reach them. For Christ, we can't. It's impossible to. That's not how Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to love. He wants us to tell the good news. And if you're listening this morning and you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you what he told that woman at the well. When you drink of his water, the living water, you'll never thirst again spiritually. He loves you. Whether you feel like a social outcast or not, you may be just totally confused about what's going on in America today, and you're hurting. Jesus wants to love you. He does love you. He wants to show his love in your life. He wants to heal those hurts and mend those wounds. And just call out to him. Just open up. Because he's standing right there with his arms wide open, ready to just fill your life with his love. Would you give him the chance to do that? Would you just call out to him this morning and say, Jesus, I need you. I don't know what's going on in this world, but I know that I need you in my life. Forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. I repent and turn to you. I believe you're the Savior. You're the Messiah. You're Lord. And I confess you as Lord. And I believe you died and rose again. You know, just call out to him. And he'll forgive you. And he'll fill you with his love. And if you are a believer this morning, I want to challenge you to look at what's going on in America and ask God to help us repent of our own sins. Ask Him to forgive us for any hatred we've had in our hearts and pray. Pray for this country and live for Jesus. Live and love like Jesus tells us to. That's the only way things are going to change, is through the love of Jesus Christ. So as we end this morning, I want us to pray together and ask you to, if you have any questions, or if you've given your life to the Lord or just have any questions at all, please contact me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com, or call our office at 334-494-4995. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time to be together, to open up your word and see what you tell us. Because God, you give us your word to tell us your will and to show us how to live. And Father, you know this country is in such turmoil, so much violence and hatred, so many people confused and just angry. God, we pray for your help. And Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me for my sins. Lord, any hatred that I've had in my heart, I repent of and ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me of my sins, Lord. Lord, I want to live a life that's filled with your love and your compassion for everyone, not just people that look like me or live like me, but for everyone. Because, Lord, your love knows no boundaries, and I need to live like that. I need to love like that. Help me, Lord. Fill me with your spirit, Lord, fresh and anew this morning. Lord, touch every person listening. And, Lord, may we decide that we're going to live for you. This way of living for ourselves or living for prestige or anything else is not a way to go. It's not. It's destruction. That's the wide road that leads to destruction, Lord. I pray that we'll decide we want to be on that narrow road that leads to life, and that we'll live for you, be obedient to your word, and through us, Lord, you can bring change to this country and therefore to the world. Lord, our country needs you. Help every church leader, Lord. Help every government leader. And Lord, help all of us as individuals who make up the body of Christ, Lord, that we will come together. Lord, that we will love, that we'll stand up for injustice because you're a just God. And Lord, that we'll show forth your love to others and tell others about you and make disciples as you tell us to. Lord, let us be doers of your word and not hearers only. We love you and we praise you, and it's in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. Let's continue to pray for our nation. Let's live for Jesus. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.